part two, temple types. Not the Natotype. Room of Sacred God, volume 2, page 268. This is for the foregoing. Let's do a little review from our last study. Therefore, these two temples are types of the two sections of the typical apostolic congregation of Israel of the New Testament. At the antithetical sanctuary service made up of these two laws, of the moral and the ceremonial. For the first section of the apostolic congregation in the first century with the apostle, from the crucifixion to about 538 A.D., was endowed with just such a sanctuary. That is, they had the feast days. They were still continuing on during the full sanctuary service of the Sabbath and all the holy days, as sure as taking the place of the animal sacrifice of the new covenant. That is, they had a perfect knowledge of the work in the heavenly and to that time, and their faith corresponded with his service. Then in 538 A.D., the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of this divine administration was thrown out from the apostolic congregation of the Nazarene, or the first blessed mountain, as Daniel puts it, trodden underfoot, Daniel 8:13, and substituted by a pagan priesthood with the pagan ceremonial and moral laws of the papal service and Sunday worship. Therefore, as the first temple is with the typifying of the first section of the early apostolic congregation of the 12 apostles, with the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant and a true sanctuary service, just so the second temple has prefigured the first section of the same temple, with the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, that would be identical with the first. So the foregoing explanation answers one of our questions. For the Protestant churches that were raised up before the woman returned from the wilderness, were in the total darkness concerning the sanctuary service. Therefore, they are not represented by the woman or by the temple. For as we stated before, the typical temples represent both the sections of the church with the two divine laws, namely moral, Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial, all the statutes and precepts of the ceremonial system of the new moons, of the feast days, of the annual feast days, and the new moons is a monthly feast day, Sabbath day. Thus the woman, purified woman, represents a purified congregation of the Israel in the New Testament that keep the commandments of the Yahweh, Ten Commandments, and have the testimony of, that is, the blood testimony of the everlasting covenant of the Asherah of Revelation and Hebrews 10:19-20. That is the ceremonial law or the plan of the salvation revealed in the light of the spirit of the prophecy. That is the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Asherah of Hebrews 10:19-20. Revelation 12:17. For the reformers, before the woman returned from the wilderness, that the wilderness was during the dark ages from 538 to 1798, were divinely called out as a preparatory step for the bringing her back into the vineyard, that is, for the establishing of a true and a typical temple service, a true church worship. As the Solomon's temple was robbed of the sacred vessels and destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, ancient Babylon became a type. And had it not been so, there would have been no modern Babylon as the antitype, Revelation 18:2. As there is no controversy as to who these two Babylons are, it is not difficult for the unmasking of the mystery and with the proof of the one will also clear the other. If the claim in this study is correct that the Solomon's Temple, and you can say this claim is correct, and I'll put the positive on it, for the claim in this study is correct that the Solomon's Temple was a type of the first section of the antitypical apostolic congregation of the Nazarenes of the 12 apostles in the first century, then there must be a perfect comparison with the type and antitype. As the type, destroyed type, so antitype must have destroyed antitype. That is, ancient Babylon, as a type of the papacy, robbed and destroyed the Solomon's Temple, the type of the early apostolic congregation of the apostles, and led Israel into the captivity by 538 A.D. This symbolical prophecy and its perfect fulfillment in 538 A.D. when the papacy went forth and destroyed the apostolic church's believers, robbed them of the truth of the sanctuary system of the moral and the ceremonial laws in operation, and led the followers of the Yahshua into the captivity during the time of the wilderness sojourn from 538 to 1798, subject to the papal rule, as the true sanctuary worship was abolished by the ancient Babylon at the captivity of Israel, with the destruction of the temple, just so the papacy did away with the truth and strategically supplanted here on the earth the meaning of the mediatorial work of Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary, of which the ceremonial system of the first temple was a type and appeared before the judgment began. Thus, the sacred temple represents the time while the judgment was in the session, and as the sacred vessels were carried from the sanctuary and set up in a pagan temple in a heathen land, just so the papacy chopped down the truth and set up a pagan priesthood and a so-called apostolic congregation during the Dark Ages while the woman was in the wilderness, which was typified by the heathen land of Babylon. For a sacred coincidence in the fall of the Babylonian monarchy by the conquest of the Medo-Persian king, let it be remembered that in the night of the Belshazzar's drunken feast, Cyrus and Darius took the kingdom and slew the king. For the fulfillment of the type and the antitype, which coincides with the imprisonment of the Pope in 1798 A.D., and followed by his death, therefore the death of the Belshazzar, who defied the Yahweh of the heaven and earth, is a type of the Pope, who blasphemed for a time, times and a half a time, fulfilling Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:10. At which time the prophetic 1260 years of a woman's wilderness journey ended. Again, we refer back unto the type. With the death of the Belshazzar, captivity of the Yahweh's people ended and they were made free. This coincides with the termination of the 1260 years of the persecution against the Yahweh's people by the papacy, church and state. For the fall of the Babylonian monarchy was not the thing that built the temple in Jerusalem, but it was a preparatory step to it, as the death of the Belshazzar was a preparatory step toward the establishment of a true temple worship. Just so, the death of the Pope was a preparatory step toward the establishment of a true church worship. If so, then the type clearly shows that nothing could have happened to the church in 1798 A.D. for the signifying that the woman had returned from the wilderness. This brings us onto a third coincidence. For the source of the heathen worshiper at the time that he had conquered Babylon, that his attention was turned unto the fulfillment of the scriptures and was shown that his name was written in the sacred volume years before he was born and that he had fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah. Thus saith the Yahweh unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, for the subduing of the nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of the brass, and cut in sunder the bars of the iron. And I will give thee the treasures of the darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, am the Yahweh of Israel. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me, Isaiah 45:1-4. That saith of the south, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even sin unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and unto the temple, thy foundation shall be laid, Isaiah 44:28. So that's his hidden heart was changed. And with gratitude, he inscribed the words. Thus says Cyrus, as the king of Persia, for the Yahweh of the heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me for the building him a house at the Jerusalem that is in Judah, Ezra 1:2. After his conversion, he recognized that the pagan worship in the Bible was false. Therefore, he proclaimed throughout the realm of the Bible, for the Yahweh of the Israel, he is the Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Also, Cyrus, as the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, that the Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of the Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his God, even those that Cyrus, king of the Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and number them unto Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. Ezra 1:3-8. Thus the pagan worship of the Babylon was declared false sometime after the death of Belshazzar and the fall of his empire. Joe Biden represents the antithetical Belshazzar's empire today of Babylon. So Donald Trump has got a second time now to come in as president of the United States, and he will choose a new vice president. And so this time Donald Trump will prevail over antithetical Belshazzar Biden. Therefore, Cyrus made a decree for the building of the house of Yahweh and Jerusalem. So much for the type. Now our attention is turned unto its fulfillment and the antitype. According to the type, we must look for a proclamation sometime after 1798 A.D. that would bring the so-called Protestant churches as our Christian churches as a being Babylon and their worship fall. This is just what happened immediately after 1844 A.D. For the second angel's message of the Revelation at 14:8 was proclaimed since Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Talking about the Catholic Church that came to its end in 1798. It's evidence that the light shining through the type is as the only medium that can explain these prophetic mysteries and the word of Yahweh. With the proclamation of the fall of the Babylon, it was announced that the so-called apostolic festival, or Christian festival, such as the Sunday keeping, Christmas, and Easter, also baptism by the sprinkling, and other false doctrines were unbiblical and of the pagan origin. But as the ancient Babylon fell for the renouncing of the pagan system of their worship and for the adopting of their worship of the only true Yahweh, just so the present day Christendom has refused for the reforming or turning from these practices for the true mediatorial work of the heavenly sanctuary jointly with the seventh day Sabbath as it was been taught is also unheeded. Three decrees issued before the temple was built. This is we're on page 273. This is our next subtitle. Though Cyrus freely offered his resources for the financing of the construction of the house of Yahweh and his sacred service, and authoritatively commanded that it must be built, the Samaritans are the factitious Jews, frustrated the progress of the foundation and retarded its completeness. Therefore, though the message decree in 1844 was proclaimed for the building of the house of Yahweh and for the restoring of the true worship according unto the law and the prophets, the type reveals that the progress has been frustrated and its completeness retarded by the factitious Jews. Unto Seventh-day Adventists, this fact is plainly stated in the testimony for the church, Volume 5, page 217. L.G. White says, I am filled with this sadness when I think of our condition as a people. For Yahweh has not closed heaven unto us, but our own course of the continual backsliding has separated us from Yahweh. Pride, covetousness, and love of the world have lived in the heart without the fear of the banishment or condemnation. For the churches, since the Adventist churches turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward the Egypt, yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power. For the false accusations and excuses for these unconverted Seventh-day Adventists, when told of these facts, not to criticize or to find fault with them, but to arouse them from the terrible stupor of the deception and false security, begin to make excuses in the following manner. We are Yahweh's people. This is Yahweh's church. There is no other movement to follow. It is wicked to accuse the church militant. You are sitting time. You must not tear down, but build up. Shun them with which make division. Then shall be no more a prophet. There shall be no more prophet. We have all the truth, and there is no need of more. It says, for my brethren, as you have trimmed your lamps, will you not also avail yourselves of the extra oil, truth, and act like men who are looking for their Yahshua to come? No one denies the fact of your being Yahweh's people, but remember that the Jews also were once his people. No one wishes to affirm that it is not Yahweh's church, but this is the only time he has ever had a church. We do not claim that there is another movement to follow, but it is not the word of the true witness saying, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And that sure is this true witness in Revelation 3:14 that is told to the angel led us here. If calling the church militant unto a reformation by the anointing of their eyes with the eyesight, that they may see that the shame of their nakedness do not appear, as wicked as you say, then against whom are you speaking? And what other means can he use for the calling unto repentance this letter sin, rich and increased with the goods and have need of the nothing condition, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? As the one who cause for the obedience unto the truth according unto the word Yahweh turned down, or the ones who have broken every true principle of the message we bear, who has caused division? Is it the one who calls for obedience to the word, or the one who refuses to hear a call from heaven? Do you recall that the Christian church, or the apostolic church, was split in the seven reformatory sessions because the messages were rejected? Who is the one that should be shunned? Is it he who accepts a truth regardless of where it comes, or the one who allows prejudice to bar his mind from the receiving of the truth? For you're claiming to have all the truth, and that there is need of none, is denying every word written to the church. Is it rejecting in advance every message of the truth, or Lot, Yahweh may have choose to sin? It is shutting Yahweh out and cutting the church loose from his stretched out arm. It is a preparatory step toward the sinning against the Holy Spirit. Your assertion that there shall be no more prophet is casting off before the hand the latter round and the loud cry. It is denying the word in its prophetic form, for we read, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Joel 2:28. Now, brethren, is there anything so fearful as this unrighteous practice committed by the men who are supposed to be watchmen on the walls of the Zion? If you count yourselves unworthy of the everlasting kingdom, will you not take your hands off of the congregation of Yahweh? Will you not grant religious freedom unto the sheep and let them make their own decision? Why not do as you would have others do unto you? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Will you not say, yes, sir, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you know that the blood of the lost sheep shall be required at your hand? For your accusations against sitting time is like a man talking when out of his mouth. What definite time has been set? Do you mean Ezekiel chapter 4? If so, will you not study the subject a little closer? Then you have, and see what it said. Do you not see that the prophetic period had already ended when the statement was made? Or do you mean to say that the Yahweh knows not the length of the time from one event unto another, and that he must not put it in the Bible? Do you not see that the coincidences recorded in the Shepherd Rod, volume 1, page 212 and 13 proves that the interpretation of Ezekiel 4 to be correct, or the truth would not have come? For you will also note on pages 222 that the 430 prophetic years originally applied unto Abraham and his seed overlapped the 430 years of the Ezekiel 4. The 430 years of Ezekiel should terminate in 1929 or 30, but the perfect fulfillment of the prophetic period of Abraham and his antitype is yet in the future, going out of Egypt. But the chart on page 212 and 13 shows its termination in 1930. For as we stated before, it is outlined by the coincidences which perfectly fit the prophecy of Ezekiel 4. As it is impossible for the making of a time chart without any date to go by, we have used these coincidences, and it is stated that the date is an indefinite. See chart on page 133. Ezekiel's prophecy is intended for the pointing forward unto the announcement of the predicted Reformation and the one through the Abraham unto his completion, Ezekiel 9. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer to Yahweh, but truly I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Yahweh, and of the judgment and of the might for the declaring unto Jacob the his transgression, and unto Israel for his sin. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up the Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for the hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they learn, lean upon Yahweh, and say, is not the Yahweh Yahshua among us? That's the Son. Yet will they lean upon the Yahshua, the Son, and say, is not the Yahshua among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall the Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. Micah 3:7-12. Objections against the tongue of Yahweh may use. For the history proves that many have risen against the channel that the Yahweh has used for the revealing of his holy word. So it is now, for some say, if the Yahweh will speak unto his people, he may do so through one of our leading men. That may be so, but where is the evidence that he cannot call a more humble instrument from the flock of his sheep? For the historical facts prove that he seldom reveals himself to the great men. Why should he change his method now? Others throw reflections against the Yahweh's servants because of their external appearance. Nativity, rudiments of the speech, etc. My brethren, where you limit the Father and Creator of the human race by your restriction to a nation, man, or country, by your narrow-minded and self-conceited wisdom, for the heart that can see such unreasonable theology through the self-esteem is like the proud Pharisee in the comparison with the penitent Republican. And when these wise and self-dignified ideologists are the most ignorant ones, for by so doing they allow the father of the self exaltation to rob them of life and eternity, while such men are blinded unto their own destruction. They are very wise and useful agents for the enemy of the soul, for by their usurpation they carry a never-ending influence like a pebble thrown in the lake. A wave is formed, and still another, and as they increase, the circle widens until it reaches the very shore. It says, what influence would your words of the life have upon the others if you think your dignity so great and that of theirs so insignificant? Your actions are speaking louder than your words, saying unto the poor of the flock, look on us and see yourselves as nothing. If a wrong act is committed against one's sheep for the pouring forth of the straight truth, then the others would be treated likewise. For such shepherds, following words are spoken. You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. For the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with the force and with the cruelty have you ruled them. Ezekiel 34:3-4. The second decree to build the temple. Our next subtitle, by the suppression, the adversaries of the Yahweh brought the work of the first decree unto a stop. But in the due time, Cyrus' decree was renewed by the Darius, the king, and Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of the Josedek, and began to build the house of Yahweh, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of the Yahweh helping them. Ezekiel 5:2. And though this second decree carried additional power against the temple foes, they made the Jews cease by the force of their arms. For the types by the second decree unmistakably revealed that there should have been another message after 1844, which with the additional mention should have declared go forward by the faith endeavor for the establishing of a clean church and a true worship by the obedience of the word of Yahweh, righteousness by faith. For this type also discloses that this second message would have been defeated and their work frustrated. Now note how perfectly the two coincide, reveals the truth and exposes the schemes of the devil. In 1888, just such a message decree went forth, but the leaders at that time rejected it as the following testimony proved. For Yahshua, in his great mercy, sent a most precious message unto his people. This message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, for it presented justification through the faith and the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of the Yahshua, which is made manifest in the obedience unto all the commandments of the sanctuary, as mentioned there in Leviticus 23:1-44. Many have lost sight of the Yahshua, Testimonies, Ministers, page 91. For the message was delivered with the power of the Spirit, says the messenger, I shall never again, I think, be called to stand with the direction of the Holy Spirit as I stood at the Minneapolis, for the presence of the Yahshua was with me. All assembled in that meeting had an opportunity for the placing themselves on the side of the truth by receiving of the Holy Spirit that was sent by the Yahweh in such a rich current of love and mercy. But in the rooms occupied by some of our people were heard ridicule, criticism, jeering, laughter. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit were attributed unto fanaticism, the sins which took place at that meeting made the Yahweh of the heaven ashamed to call those who took part in them his brethren. All this the heavenly watcher noticed, and it was written in the book of the Yahweh's remembrance. Special Testimony Review in Hell, 1617, written in 1896. Okay, it says, they began this satanic work at the Minneapolis afterwards when they saw and felt the demonstration of the Holy Spirit testifying that the message was of Yahweh. They hated it the more because it was a testimony against them that these men have been holding position of the trust and have been molding their work after their own similitude as far as they possibly could. Testimony of Mrs. Page 80. But if they nourish the same spirit that marked their course of reaction both before and after the Minneapolis meeting, they will fill up to the full the deeds of those whom Yeshua condemned when he was upon the earth. For the perils of the last days are upon us. Read Matthew 25:14. Testimony, page 79. We also present a written testimony from an eyewitness, from the eyewitness, the 1888 message backed up by the certified as a message of the hour. Few of the leaders recognized it as such, almost as a unity rebel, even claiming those men had unduly influenced Sister White in their favor by some unseen power. Thus they rejected the spirit of prophecy. These two men, Elder Jones and Wagner, with the Sister White, were rejected the use of the big tabernacle. Thus you see not only 90% but nearly 95% of our leaders rebel. The third decree, to build the temple, our next subtitle. As the first and second decrees by the kings of the Medo-Persia had failed to complete the construction of the temple and restore the sacred typical service, a third decree was set forth. Then the king added, also I have made a decree that whosoever shall after this word, let timber be pulled down from, shall alter, whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made as a dunghill for this. And the Yahweh that has caused his name to dwell there, destroy all the kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of the Yahweh which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with the speed. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophet son of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according unto the commandment of the Yahweh of Israel, and according unto the commandment of the Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king, Ezra 6:11-15. It will be noticed that the third decree threatened the lives of the disloyal men and nation. Whosoever shall alter this word, said the king, let his house be made a dunghill for this. So much for the top. Now we come to the antitype. The top reveals that the messages of the 1844 and 1888 are to be followed by a third one. But according unto their talk, the third message is to be a severe one, a message that will demand obedience and enforce executive judgment upon those who would oppose its decree. And according to the talk, it is the third message that will accomplish its mission. In 1929, just such a message came to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was put in writing and published in 1930, entitled The Shepherd Rod Volume 1. And as the message went unto all the sisterhood of churches as far as possible throughout the world, a man clothed with a linen, which had the rod of ink on by his side, was told, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of your version, the church, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in this church and the church. And unto the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, and let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And then they began the ancient men, elders, which were before the house. Ezekiel 9:4-6. On this scripture was a message based, prophetically declaring that the 144,000 will be marked and the balance now and the church must suffer the consequences except they repent and march on with the truth of the other. But though not one of the entire denomination has been able to contradict the truth of the 144,000 as a whole, or even in a part, nor have they dared refute the charge regarding the fostered abominations in the midst of them, they have risen against the message and prefer for the holding onto their abominations, just as the enemies of the Yahweh oppose the construction of the temple unto the very last, as the decree by the king of the Medo-Persia declared to the foes of the house of Yahweh, saying, whosoever shall alter this word, let his house be made a dunghill for this. Just so the word Yahweh has declared now, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, if such a message as this would not convince the professed people of the Yahweh to do better, then what can it do? Nevertheless, as the Yahweh's purpose was carried out in the type, just so it will be in the end type. It is remarkable to note how perfectly the antitype coincides with the type. There was no change made in the decrees of the size, and as it was, but a renewal from time to time, so it has been with the antitype. Thus, there can be no change with the third angel's message, but great light and power shall be added unto it. Fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. Early writings, page 118. For the time for the establishment of the true church is our next subtitle. And Haggai 2:23, speaking of the construction of the type, second temple, but looking prophetically forward unto the fulfillment of the Antitype, the church in her purity, the word of Yahweh by the prophet chain, and his rubble, who laid the foundation of the temple, and of whom the word says is a signet, a sign for the Antitype. Before we read of what the Yahweh is to do at that time, for thus saith the Yeshua of the host, this is the Son talking here, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and will fill this house with the glory, saith the Yeshua the host. For the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Yahshua the host. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than at the former, saith Yahshua the host. And in this place will I give peace, saith Yahshua the host. Haggai 2:6-9. And I will overthrow the throne of the kingdom, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Haggai 2:22. It is evident by this scripture that this glorious church is to be established at the close of this world's history, when the earthly kingdoms shall come unto their end. While interpreting Zechariah's vision, the angel spoke of his rubble saying, the hands of the rubble have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. Zechariah 4:9. That is, the founders of the Antitype, which were typified by this rubble, laid the foundation in 1844. Jeroboam began being a signet for the Antitype by the laying the foundation and finishing the house. He knows that the finishing of the spiritual house, the completeness of the church of Yahweh numbering of the saints, is to be accomplished in the one generation in the life of a man commencing in 1844. For the power of the Yahweh's people to build his house, thus saith Yahshua the host, if thou wilt walk in my way, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my court, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and the fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the bronze, Zechariah 3:7-8, and they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because Yahshua is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Zechariah 10:5. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahshua is cometh, for it is nigh at the hand, a day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, as a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. Okay, it says, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. For the land is as the garden of the Eden before them, and behind them as a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. for the appearance of them as there is the appearance of the horses, and as the horsemen, so shall they run like the noise of the church on the tops of the mountains, shall they leap like the noise of a flame, as the fire that devours the stubble, as the strong people sit in the battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blindness. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like the men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief, for the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 2:1-10. For the earth, sun, moon, and the stars have no connection with Matthew 24:29. For the prophetic signs of the stated planets shall find their complete fulfillment before the commencement of the millennium. For the results of the obedience unto Yahweh's word is our next subtitle. Thus saith Yahshua of the host, the Son. It shall come, it shall yet come to pass, that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of the many cities, and the inhabitants of the one city shall go to another saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Yahshua, Yahweh, and to seek the Yahshua of the host, his Son. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Yahshua of the host in Yerushalayim, and to pray before the Yahweh the Father. Thus saith the Yahshua of the host, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the Yahweh is with you. Zechariah 8:20-23. For the meaning of the 10 men is the same as the 10 virgins of the Matthew 25:1. For the 10 virgins signify this church as a body, and the men symbolically denotes those who are to be converted unto the church, and that they shall come from all languages and nations, even shall take a hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew. That is, the one who is a Jew represents Yahshua in the person of his saints, which would be antypically Elijah in this case today, or antypical David, the 144,000. His skirt represents truth, or the church as a whole, by which 144,000 are symbolically clothed. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith to Yahshua, or the other, the 2 parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the 3rd shall be left therein, and I will bring the 3rd part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, yes, Yahweh is my Yahweh. Zechariah 13:8-9. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the wealth of the gold and silver of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Isaiah 60:11. This is the end of our study of number 2. Of temple types, type and antitype. Our next study will be entitled the two olive trees of Zechariah 4. This man here, by step this art, contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain, on dreadful morn, walk after my Savior, weary and worn, waiting for sinners, death on the cross, that he must save them from endless long. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, sins now I see them on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners bleeding, mourning and hating, dying for them. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Even while his life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners, all in this world, no one but Yahshua ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for them. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find him? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners bleeding, one and unheeding, dying.